Hey, I just want to say something before we get started. Let's give a big hand to the worship team tonight. I appreciate their commitment. I appreciate their attitude. Man, you know what? You can get around some worship teams and they just, you know what? They think they're good singers. And they are good singers, but they're not good worshipers. See, you can't be a good worshiper if you don't have a humble attitude. Amen? Amen. And we have some wonderful people who've got ability, but you know what? What's the big deal? Amen? Like the guy who can dunk a basketball. Well, who made you tall? Amen? I remember, you know what, had an old pastor, and he had a very large church, and so the talent pool was huge. And he'd have people come up, and sometimes they'd even do two songs before he'd preach. And they would, I mean, the talent level was really, really high. And I'm talking about Pastor Rick. And Pastor Rick would impress. It kind of tripped me out because sometimes, I mean, they were done and I'd be like, that was awesome. That was so, do you believe how good they are? And then Pastor Rick would get up there and go, thank you. Let's open our Bibles. You know what I mean? And he would just be so, but I think Pastor Rick understood that talent is just given by God. And the fact that you have the ability to do something is a good thing. But you ought to just bring it before God anyway. Amen? But I do thank our worship team who has a humble spirit and they do a great job and they just have a good attitude. And it makes when you come in here, you can sense the Holy Spirit is either welcomed here or not welcomed here. And pride tells the Holy Spirit, you're not welcome here. Humility brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's really important that everybody, whether you're on the worship team, whether you're in the kids ministry, no matter what you're doing, that you do it with a humble attitude. Amen? All right, you guys ready to learn some stuff today? If you're taking notes, the sermon title is called Straight Up. Straight up. How many know God is straight up with you? Straight up meaning kind of slang for meaning. God is going to be honest with us. And he's going to be straightforward and he's going to be honest with people and he's going to be honest with us. I want to look at a portion of scripture. This is Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, and he says some stuff to us that is very poignant to our lives today. You guys got that picture of the Leaning Tower? Okay. Imagine that. Let me tell you some realities about that. When that was built in the 1100s, they only dug about 3 feet deep. The foundation was only 3 feet deep, which was the problem, because with that weight of a structure on a 3 feet deep foundation, it wasn't even close to deep enough, and one of the sides of the soil was soft and it started to sink. Matter of fact, I didn't know this, but I studied this out. The whole thing would have fallen, but this city was always warring with these three other cities around them, so they only got to the second level and they had to stop the construction for nearly 10 years. In that 10 years, that soil, became more stable, and so they were able to continue to build. But because they didn't dig deep enough, eventually they had to put 800 tons of weight on the opposite side. Do you guys have that picture? Do you guys have another picture? Yeah. Okay. That's the other side. That's a real picture. That is the tower. Because they had to stabilize it. Okay. That's our lives. And Jesus, in the church, in the Sermon on the Mount, has the integrity to speak to us and tell us, hey, you need to build your foundation deeper that your life will be straight. That your life won't have to have this 800 tons worth of weights to just keep it up. Some of you feel that. And it's just this struggle. And God's speaking to you and saying, listen, let me be straight up with you. That your life can be straight up. That things can be in keel. That you can be a witness for me. That you can just have a quality, substantial life that I want you to have. We're gonna be looking at the scripture in Matthew. But before we go to that, we looked at this several weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. This is 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. And it's substantial because what the Pharisees and the Sadducees are doing in the church in their life, they're always looking at the outside, and they're talking about the outside. Jesus is going to talk in the Sermon on the Mount. He's going to talk about what really counts, which is the inside. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." How many know it's tougher to look in the heart? Amen? Straight up. But if you'll work on the heart, if you'll, what Luke says, he says, dig deep. If you'll spend some time working on your foundation, what's really going on in your heart, what's really the heart issues, then you're going to have a strong foundation. And you're going to have a good life. Matthew 23, look at this. Matthew 23, verses 26 and 27. Look what it says. Blind Pharisees, they don't see it. They think they see it, but they're just looking at the outside. They're just looking outside. First, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Everybody say first. First. See, the first issue that we have to deal with is our character. That's the inside. How many know it's going to be good tonight? I said, how many know it's going to be good tonight? Okay. But remember the title, straight up. I'm going to say some things straight up to you, because God is saying it to us. But this is going to be good, and it'll be helpful. Matthew, we'll move on. So here's what I want you to know. Five areas or five issues Jesus addresses head on. Tonight I'm going to talk about five key issues in our life that God doesn't just talk generically about. He is going to talk to us tonight straight up about issues that we really need to deal with. Look at your neighbor, say, you're ready for this. No, tell them, you are ready for this. Hey, how many want to have a good 2017? How many want to have a good time? Okay, then here's what we got to do. We got to deal with the issues. We got to deal with the stuff. We got to get the inside clean. Amen. We got to get the inside clean. Not just about, you know what, having a cool haircut. You know what? It's about not just the curb appeal. Amen. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you ain't fooling anybody's coming over your house. Right? Why? Because they're looking on the inside. You know what? Some people, you come over to their house, they're like, oh, hey, Drew, let me come out here. Yeah, just leave that at the door. Amen. Amen. No, let's deal with the inside. Amen. Amen. Five areas where God just is going to speak to us and deal with areas that we need to deal with head on. Number one, are you ready for this? How are we going to handle anger? How do we handle anger? Jesus deals with this. Look what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. You have heard that it has been said of those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders is danger. Stop here. Don't go on. Whoever is murder is danger of judgment. Can I ask you a straight up question? I'm just asking. Does anybody want to go to hell? does anybody want to go to hell? Remember AC/DC? You know, the guy's like, way to hell. And what he was singing about is him doing all these. He was saying, man, I'm going on this highway to hell. I'm going there. You know what's sad? You know what's sad? You know what's sad? There's not too many years later after that came out, that same singer, you know what, died of an alcohol OD. How many know you got to drink a lot of alcohol to OD on alcohol? It's so interesting because Jesus is saying, he's going to say in a minute, listen, those people who will not deal with their anger issues are on a highway to hell. And here's what they think. They think that they're okay. Here's why. Listen to me. Because they haven't murdered anybody. See, every issue here is Jesus teaching us completely different than what the world says. The world says, well, the world says a lot of things. The world says there ain't no hell. But the few people who believe in hell, the world says, but don't worry about it because you didn't murder. The only one who's really bad are the people who murdered somebody. But everybody, you know, well, I didn't murder anybody. And Jesus is going to say, if you are, hey, you know what will expose who you really are? You know what will expose who you really are? Your mouth. Your mouth will tell you who you Now, I'm not talking about the facade, you know what I mean? Hello? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who you really are. Your mouth will expose who you really are. And God says, listen, let me tell you what's going on. You're angry at people. You got a heart issue, and that same anger that causes people to murder somebody is the same anger that's going on in your life, but you just don't murder people. But your heart is still jacked up. I said straight up. Now listen, we can chuck and jive and I'm okay. Jesus is going to say it right like it is. Are you guys ready for this? Okay, next verse, look at this. But I say to you that whoever is angry at his brother, we'll look at that phrase right there, without a cause in a minute, shall be in danger of judgment. Watch this. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. Watch this. But whoever says, you fool. Okay, before I move on, I'm just asking you. Do we believe in Jesus? Okay. See, there's a book out, and it's called Christian Atheists. And the author, here's what he's saying. There's all these people that call themselves Christian, but they really don't follow the teachings of Christ. It's just like one in and one out because they're not hearing what Jesus is saying. Can I tell you straight up what Jesus is saying? He's saying, listen, but whoever, whoever, somebody say whoever means me. You are not the exception. You know what whoever means? Whoever means whoever's doing this. If that's you, listen, don't play dodgeball. Don't dodge it. Deal with it. Recognize your heart. Because if you recognize what's going on in your heart, then you can repent that times of refreshing might come. Can I tell you what? Who's the most miserable of angry people? The angry person. Amen. How many know if you got somebody who's angry, you can say, hey, I hear my mom calling me. I got to go. Right? But if you're the angry person, how many know you ain't getting away from you? But here's the deal. And judge it. If you call people fool, I don't call people fool. Okay, well, position of superiority over another by calling him a derogatory name demonstrates sinfulness in the heart. Sin that will result in hell. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't get caught up with, I never called anybody Raca. I never said you're a fool. I never did that. No, did you call someone something derogatory and in it you are saying, I am superior, you are inferior? There's something going on in your heart and you need to recognize you are jacked up. And you're positioning yourself, I'm not going to say it, Jesus said it, for hell. See, God redeemed you that you would glorify him. Amen. And that men would see your good works and glorify our Father. Amen. You have been redeemed for a purpose. And that purpose isn't to judge, it isn't being to talk about people derogatorily. And that positioning is positioning yourself to go to hell. Amen. Aren't you glad God's telling you the truth? Hurts so good. Amen. Right? Right? But how many know this is good? Amen. Why? Because you can evaluate and go, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. And you can see it. And you can see it because God is honest to say, here's the issue. If you can't see it, let me help show it to you. God is so gracious to help show us our sin. And he says, here's the issue. The issue is, if you don't know, you're talking a bunch of junk over people. And you need to stop. Yeah, but there, shh. Yeah, but quiet. Stop it. You're setting yourself to hell. God didn't redeem you for that. God redeemed you to see the best in people, not the worst in people. I want to say that over here. God redeemed you to not see the worst in people, but see the best in people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are you learning some? Number one. Number two. So the first area God is saying, you need a hand, I need to be honest with you that you could handle your anger. Number two, how do you handle lust and sexual sin? You know, there are some states I just heard on the radio just yesterday. There are certain states that are now looking at making, our country's like, we're free to have sex and be sexual immoral according to the word of God in any way that we want. But here's the problem. Some sociologists that are being honest now are seeing the negative ramifications of sexual, what we call sexual sin. They won't call it that, but they're seeing some they're at least becoming honest enough. Here's why. Because the statistics are so alarming, we are starting in America to see the incredible negative consequences of pornography. And they are substantial. And so God, how many know God doesn't, he knows that sex is a wonderful expression of love in a marriage. You know, I don't know if you know this, I'll say it like this. When there is satisfaction in sex, in a man's brain, what do they call it? What's the chemical? Do you remember the chemical, Tamara? These endorphins go off, and it's God's designed it that way, that as you are having intimate relationship with your spouse, that's going off, and you know what it does? It binds you closer to your wife. Is God cool or what? And so in a course of a being married 10 years, being married 20 years, being married 30 years, as you are faithful to one person and faithful to be satisfied only by one person, God has got this plan. Let me say it like this. When you get married, you are separating yourself to that one person. That's God's plan. And statistics say, sexually, the most satisfied, off the charts, the most awesome sex that anybody has are between couples who are loyal to each other and intimate only with each other. Amen. Not what the world says is, oh, they're no. The ones that are really having fun are the ones that are just intimate with each other and no one else. Amen. That's what the surveys are showing. Okay. But the world says, but you can do this, and it's okay. You know, no. You can do this and that's okay. What does the world say is not okay? The only thing that's not okay is for you to say something isn't okay. Is that not right? The only judgment that is made is if you say, hey, that's wrong. No, you're wrong to say anything's wrong. That's what the world says. But Jesus says, no. Let me tell you the standard. Here's what it is. Not only are you to be loyal to your wife or to your husband physically, but you need to be loyal to her in your mind. And if you're lusting for someone else, if you're checking somebody else out with this desire to have lust, let me tell you what, you're committing that act. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. See, you're dealing with the outside. Jesus says, no, I don't want you to just clean the outside. I want you to clean the inside. Amen. And how wonderful it is to go home to your wife after, after a day and say, honey, I'm loyal to you. Period. Amen. Are you learning something? Say amen to this. Look what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, 28. Look at what he says. You heard that it said, those of old do not commit adultery. See, outside. Watch this. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery. Where? In his heart. Not just about the outward stuff. It's about the outward stuff, and it's about the inward stuff. And let me tell you what. This goes for men and women. But let me say this, men. Men, just, you know what? God is true. He wants to. His commandments are not burdensome. The best thing you would do is get this down and understand God knows what he's talking about. Amen. It'll do you well to get it under control. And let me just say this to the men. If you don't have it under control, you can call me. You can set up an appointment. I'll talk to you once a week. We can have accountability that you can tell me what's going on. Oh, I won't tell my pastor. Well, you better figure it out. Amen. I'm smiling, right? Hey, ladies, can you just take a time out for a minute? Can you take a time? Thank you. Can you take a time out for a minute? Man, can I talk to you? Guys, I love you. I'm just telling you what. If you need help, be humble enough to call me and say, Pastor, I need some help. I won't judge you. I won't criticize you. But I will help you. Amen. 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 Number three, how do we handle difficulty of marriage? God doesn't say that you're not going to have difficulty in marriage. You know what God says? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, here's what he says. If you get married, you're going to have difficulty. Pastor, that's not biblical. It is biblical. He says, if you get married, you're going to have trouble. Okay. But listen, I need to say this. If you've gone through a divorce, I'm not condemning you. God doesn't condemn you. There's a lot of reasons that you might have gone through a divorce. Even in the scripture, it gives you a reality. If your husband, if your wife has committed adultery, you know what? You have that option. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Maybe that wasn't even going on. There's a lot of things going on. All I'm telling you is, when you get married, you're married. See, that's not what the world says. When the world says is, when you get married, well, we'll see what happens. And God says, knock it off. No, that's what, watch this, watch this. Go ahead, go to the scripture, guys. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Oh, here, let me write here, here. Let me write this here. I'm, you know what? I'm upset with you. Listen, in marriage, there is, tell me if this isn't true. There's probably 100, maybe 1,000 reasons in a course of 10 years that you can be mad at your spouse. Hello, somebody. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I should say yes, because I'm sitting next to my spouse. Well, they know it too. So I'm just saying, you know what? But here's the problem. The problem is that we have accepted the, watch this, say, John 10:10. Please follow me in this. Follow my logic. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what he does is, listen, you've been set up by Disney. Disney has set you up. Because here's what happens. All the stuff happens and the damsel is, you know what, is, you know, in distress and the, you know what, the whatever, the, you know what, bad people are around her and the Prince Charming comes and he's on his white horse and he sweeps her up and throws her over his shoulder. She's on the back of the horse and they ride off and hallelujah. Problem is, that's not what the Bible says. That's what Disney says. And so then what happened? Because you got set up, and they lay, and what? How'd they live? How'd they live? Come on, somebody. How'd they live? Happily ever after. And you're set up. Because here's why. Here, let me tell you why. Because then you get married, and you know what? And boom, man, it was, you know what? Your wedding day was awesome. And he, you know what? And he was, and he, you know what? I mean, he, you didn't even know your husband could burp. Why? Because he never burped in front of you, amen? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You're like, he didn't burp? Because he was like, you know what? You know what? You know what I mean? You know, he didn't burp in front of you. And the third week you're driving and he goes, bleh. You're like, who is this guy I married? Hello, somebody. And all of a sudden, and listen, and all I'm talking about is a burp. Amen. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. All I'm saying is, guys, listen, even if you married a very, very, very godly spouse, we got issues. Listen, ladies, you're like, yeah, you men do got issues. We wasn't about the men. We all got issues, amen? And Jesus is just saying, guys, knock it off. You're just going to write it. You know what? And that's what it's like in our society. I'm not being self-righteous. If you've been through a divorce, I'm not, you know what? A divorce is not the unpardonable sin. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, whatever number you're on, stop. If you're on number one, rock on, man. If you're number two, that's it, man. If you're number three, enough. Right? Because the thought is, you're just set up. And here's the thing. Let me go back to John 10. Here's what Satan is telling you. I'm not doing this. I'm not throwing this divorce. You know what? You're thinking. Woe to those who say good is bad and bad is good. Divorce. Here, we don't even say this. Pastors don't even say this. I'm going to say it because Jesus said it. Divorce is bad. You read the statistics. You read what happens. Some of you have been, your parents have gotten divorced, and you felt it. Listen, you married, it's tough, so what? Amen. What's tough? Well, it's tough because the person you married is imperfect, just like you're imperfect. I just want to, hello. Just guys, just recognize all the negative ramifications. And here's the thing. You know what? You get divorced, you cause a great financial mess, emotional mess, all kinds of issues for your kids. And here's the deal. And then you're going to get remarried. And the guy you get remarried is going to have this, is going to burp just like your first husband did. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Are you learning something today? Can we just corporately say, you know what, I'm just not, can couples just say, listen, that's why, and listen, and this app, oh, this is so good. Please somebody hear me. You know what, we have ministry to couples almost always at least twice a year. And in those couple conferences that we have, and we have wonderful people to speak into your life, the best people. Yeah, we have it on video. So what? It's still powerful. And it breaks my heart because we have more couples. I'm just being honest with somebody. We have more couples who don't come than couples who do come. Listen, well, you don't come. No, I do come. You know why I come? Because I need help. Amen. Listen, it's not weakness to recognize you need help. That strength recognizes you need help. And so we have committed to this church that we're going to do a couples conference at least once a year, and usually we do it twice a year. And let me tell you, if you're a couple, I love you. I don't care what you're doing. Undo it. They're usually Friday evening and Saturday afternoon. So whatever it is, cancel what you're doing. I know this is strong. I'm just telling you, whatever you're doing, cancel it and get here. Yeah, but I got. Whatever you're doing, cancel it. Amen. And our commitment is we will let you know those dates at least a month in advance, and we'll tell you every week, 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out, 1 week out. You can do it. But just let us help you, please. Recognize every couple needs help. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to go to the last two real quick. Number four. How to handle personal integrity. Personal integrity. Here's what God says. Here's what I want you to do. Just tell the truth. I like what, let me quote two people. Henry Benerch said this. There is no such thing as a white lies. A lie is as black as a coal pit and twice as foul. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. A little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everybody knows it. Listen, here, let me just say this. God is saying, Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to let your yeas be yeas and nays be nays. Just tell the truth. Just be honest. And here's what I found. If you break free of your dishonesty, can I tell you what? Dishonesty is a pattern that we've developed because we haven't let God speak to our life. We are the Christian atheist. We think we're saved, but we don't follow the teachings of Christ. Here's what Christ said. Start telling the truth. And here's what will happen. You'll start to get free. I tell my wife the truth even when I know I'm getting in trouble. I tell my wife the truth even when I know I'm getting in trouble. Why? Because that's integrity. Amen? And I'm just saying, you cover up, and then you cover up, and then you cover up, and then your whole life is a cover up. And you just need to be honest. It'll be freeing to you. And finally, how do we handle evil people? Does anybody have any evil people in their life? Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and 42. Look at this. This is what the Bible says. You have heard it said, again, outside, inside. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, for tooth for tooth. Okay? You punch me, I'm going to punch you back. You punch me hard, I'm going to punch you really hard. Right? Watch this. Next verse. But I tell you not to resist the evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. See, it's just this, hey, you are not going, here's what the Bible says. Okay, different way of thinking. Don't do unto others as they do unto you. See, that's the old school. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I don't say that. I say something different. I say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Pastor, that's not good. I have to defend myself. I have to practice. No, you don't. That's an old way of thinking. Let God be your defender. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to, I'm going to take this anymore. No. Don't just live a life like Christ lived. Be like Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what happened. The reason why your life is leaning is because you're not listening to God being straight up to you. And here's what he's saying. Stop lusting. Stop lying. Stop being non-integrous. You know what? Start to be honest. Start to just be free. And what will happen is, people will start, you know what? You'll be free. There's nothing like being free. And you can do this. And we can do this in the beginning of 2017. You know what? Stop having in the back of your mind, you know what I mean? Oh, you know what? I wish I was out of this marriage. My life would be so much better. Stop it. This is wrong thinking. All of it. Hey, are we Christians? Okay. Then let's start changing our mind. Let's start allowing Jesus to teach us. Amen.
All righty. He doesn't get in trouble. I don't know what he's talking about. He doesn't get in trouble. Yeah, he did. He said, even when I know I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, if I do something stupid.
You're in trouble with the Lord, not with me. I always tell him, this is primary and this is secondary. So it don't matter. It's always what's going on here. You know what? He sees it all, huh? Okay. Happy New Year to you all. Some of you are here. It's going to be a good year for us all. Amen. I'm excited, you know what, to see what God is going to do this year. We're expecting good things. You know what? We're good things as a church and good things for each of us as individuals. You know what? So just have your faith out there and your expectancy that this will be one of the best years you've ever had. Amen. And the only way that that can happen is that we attach ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis. The more we do that, the greater year it'll be, I assure you. You know what? So be sure that you're attaching yourself to the Lord. And I hope you're using the app. You can put your notes in there and everything, and your Bible reading. The schedule is right there in the app, so you can access that and have that and just make it very convenient for yourself to stay accountable. Amen.